Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Happy February. We are back for another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I am Sean, he's AJ.
Hello.
We've finally wrapped up the 2019 NFL season. Sound like Roger Goodell. The Super Bowl 54. Sometimes you got these things. I can't just in the eyes. But Super Bowl 54 has come and gone, and we have our first, our newest NFL dynasty that's been crowned after just one ring, as typically
happens.
Yeah, I know,
right?
So, Patty Mahomes is years into his career. He's got 1 year on the bench, 1 year as an MVP, and 1 year as a Super Bowl MVP. Not too shabby.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty darn good. And Andy Reid gets his first ring in his second trip to the Super Bowl. What are your general impressions of the game? We talked about it briefly that we thought it was pretty evenly matched. They're two different teams, but two really good teams. I got to say, it played out similar to how I saw it playing out.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we said the Chiefs were a second-half team. They scored 21 in the fucking fourth quarter. And it was basically just how long could, you know, like you said, we expected it. Like, how long could the Niners hold on? How long could the Niners defense hold on? And if they needed to score late in the game, they wouldn't. And that's kind of what happened. I called it 30. I didn't call the score on this, but I told everyone 31-21 was my game time pick 'em.
Wow.
And it ended up being 31-20. Yeah.
Pretty darn close. Like you said, it played out pretty similar to how we could see it coming down. And just the same way that all the other Chiefs playoff games went, where they get down and then they come back in the second half and they look unstoppable offensively. It was even the second half of the fourth quarter is when they scored 21 points.
Yeah, it was. They were running out of time. I mean, I thought, you know, going into halftime, the score was 10-10. It was no one could really get anything super good going, but they both put together a drive or two. But when you saw 10-10, I personally thought, okay, the Chiefs, this is exactly where the Chiefs want the Niners.
Totally. Yeah.
They, you know, they're tied. They're not down by 21 or something crazy like the last couple games. You know, it's going to be a matter of time before this offense figures it out. And then the third quarter rolls around and Mahomes throws a pick and they're kind of not looking too good. Mahomes looked awful.
Didn't he?
For 50 minutes of that game. Like, he looked so rattled and shaken, and it, you know, kind of a testament to him that he could pull his ass out of it. But then all of a sudden it was like, oh, the Chiefs remembered they could go deep,
right?
And then the fucking game changed. It was like, oh yeah, you can just have Tyreek Hill run straight still and he'll probably get the ball if you throw it to him. It's like, why didn't you do that all damn game?
Yeah, where did that, yeah, how did you miss out on that? Yeah, they hit Tyreek Hill for that bomb on 3rd and 15 that everyone's talking about. They hit Sammy Watkins on a deep one on the right side of the field when he was in one-on-one coverage with Richard Sherman. Yeah, they just figured it out at the end, and that part of that is a testament to Andy Reid, and we both respect him as a coach, but we also rag on him as a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's great as an offensive coach. He always has been. But as a head coach, play caller, that's a decision maker at that level. He's had some difficulties, and this game seemed like he did great. I didn't see any mistakes on his part.
No, I thought I feel like the mistakes on his part were the first three quarters.
Right, yeah. They had absolutely no solution to Nick Bosa.
Forrest Buckner was going off.
I mean, we know that that's a formidable defensive line, but they weren't doing any chips. I don't think I saw Anthony Sherman in the game practically at all, the fullback. Just put him in there. Damian Williams, who had a great game, but is not generally thought of as a focal point of that offense. You could put Anthony Sherman in the backfield, get a chip on Nick Bosa. So they were letting the defensive line dictate to them throughout the first three quarters. But yeah, testament to them that able to put it together in the end and score 21 points like that. And he ran the ball. They ran the ball more than the Niners did.
I know.
How does that
happen? Which made no... It's ridiculous.
The Niners had 10 more passes than 9 more passes than rushing attempts. That is not their game.
No. And we've seen this throughout the playoffs where, you know, dominant running teams all of a sudden freak out when the game's too close for them because they're used to being up. The Ravens, even Tennessee against Kansas City, they stopped running the ball in the second half.
Right.
You know?
That's how Derrick Henry winds up with like 80 yards.
Literally. So they kind of just folded. And what's his Shanahan's over there? You're up, 20-10, fourth quarter. At a certain point, I was like, they're just running out of time. The Chiefs don't have enough time here.
Right.
You know, I seriously thought that at the end of the third quarter. I was like, I think Mahomes threw the pick at the end of the third or top of the fourth. I can't remember. And I go, the game's over just because it was top of the fourth because they don't have enough time to score this many points if San Francisco can keep moving the ball. And then the last so many possessions, I think it's three or four possessions by the Niners, they couldn't move the ball. They got like 30 yards over that series.
Yeah. And a lot of it was on the ground, too. And they just didn't run it enough. They were throwing on second and five. It's like, you're doing them a favor.
Literally. It's like, get into third and short.
Yeah.
That's your game. That's been your game all fucking year. And that's what these coaches do. They just blow it.
Get it at third and short and go for it on fourth down. And the Niners failed to go for it on fourth down until their final possession of the game.
Yeah.
That was when they decided, oh, we should actually go for it now. Yeah, Shanahan had some more questionable play calling in the fourth quarter. As great as he is, I've heard other people say this, but he's becoming the new Andy Reid.
Yeah, right.
Small sample size. I got to see it time and time again to get the same Andy Reid clock management wariness. But Kyle Shanahan was really conservative. This is the one that it seems like he's taking the most heat. End of the first half, Chiefs run the ball on third down, just inside the two-minute warning. It ends up being fourth down, clock's running, Niners have all three timeouts, they decide to let them run the clock all the way down. Chiefs punt it, Niners get the ball back with a minute to go. And everybody's like, why didn't you call the timeout earlier? And then they come out, they run the ball, they've thrown it again. Eventually, they get a little something going, they're at midfield, they make that throw down the right sideline to George Kittle, and he gets called for a push-off.
Yeah.
Which is a tough, tough call. I mean, he did extend his arm, but you see that on nearly every single play. He's getting Gronkowski treatment by the refs.
Mm-hmm.
So that ends up calling it back. They would have been in field goal range. But the thing that I wanted to say about it is I thought Shanahan played that smart. You see Belichick do it all the time. Now, I'll give Belichick a ton of shit for the way he did it against the Titans in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because it's the Titans and they're not going to score in 20 seconds the way that Mahomes can.
Right.
The point was to not give it back to Mahomes and let him continue to build momentum in the first half.
Right.
So I thought they did it totally fine. I mean, the punt should have been down at the 1 yard line. Do you really want to have the ball at your 1 yard line with 2 minutes to go and the Chiefs have two timeouts? You don't want that spot. You'd rather have it at the 1 yard line with a minute. So I thought he got too much shit for that. And if Kittle's PI doesn't get called, then they wind up with 3 points and get the ball back to start the second half and no one's bitching at it.
Yeah. The other thing about the Niners is Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, fourth quarter, got to have it moments, just he could not do it.
Nope.
You know, and I blame some of the play calling, but there were some throws he had that were open that he should have made. And, you know, it's 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're down by three and he's just standing on the sideline with his helmet on, not saying anything to anybody. It was too big of a moment for him. And I still think the Patriots made the right decision on him. I do feel bad for him now because he's getting a lot of shit for it, and people are saying that they should back out of the option on him.
Oh,
he's only lose $4 million. Yeah, have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard it. I wanted to ask you about that. Do you think some people are saying they can't win a Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, I mean,
is that a feeling you have?
No.
Yeah, I don't have that feeling either. But it does seem like Jimmy Garoppolo's not gonna.
Right. It seems. You know, it's weird. His game's kind of weird. He has these flashes of, wow, there he goes, he can play. And then, other, you know, flashes of just not anything. It's not like super bad play. It's just like not good.
Yeah, getting the ball.
You know what I mean?
Batted down at the line of scrimmage, which happened too many times.
Right. It's just like dumb things. It's not like, you know, football folly, Mark Sanchez butt fumble stuff. But it's it's like what is he doing there? He just sailed the ball over the guy's head by 10 yards and he just made that throw like a quarter ago.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened? You know what I mean? It's very inconsistent. It's just really weirdly inconsistent. And they're already calling for him to be out of there. I mean, they went 13-3 and you're calling for this dude to be basically cut.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like,
a little,
what are you talking about?
Certainly melodramatic on their end. I think, yeah, like we said, you can win a Super Bowl with him, but he does have a ceiling. And the ceiling on his talent is a lot lower than some franchise quarterbacks.
Right. I think that's a good way, a fair way of putting it. I mean, you know, up until the third, maybe, you know, fourth quarter, he was probably your MVP.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was wondering that.
He didn't. I don't think he played good, but, you know, it was at the point where, you know, I don't know who else would have got it. Maybe Bosa, like you said.
This is what I wanted. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about. If in that scenario where the Chiefs don't come back and win it, maybe they score a touchdown, maybe the Niners run a ton of clock off, whatever happens. Who is the Niners MVP? Because a lot of people were thinking it was Garoppolo earlier.
Right.
And then, I mean, Deebo Samuel was terrific.
Yep.
Forget about what he was able to do in the first half, first three quarters, really. But for me, I think it's Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa was unblockable the whole night.
Yeah, he played pretty good. I mean, he kind of disappeared, though, in the fourth quarter.
Well, they get tired.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Yep. And they did rotate him in and out, but he got a lot of snaps.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a good chance he could have got it. He did play well.
And then, we both wanted that to happen. We had money on that. We had the whole Niners yep. D-line for our MVP bets. I had a bet with my girl about whoever won the game was going to pick up the bar tab. So I gave her first pick, so she took the Niners, which was...
Oh, look at you.
I know. I wanted to take them. I was rooting for them the whole time, despite the bet. But, at least that was the silver lining for me. What other bets do you have?
That was it. I just figured the Chiefs would win.
Did feel that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, we're going into this game. I don't like either of the teams. I don't necessarily think the Chiefs were the best team this year, or were the best at the, or even, I don't even think they were the best at the right time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think throughout any of this year they were the best team, or even close to the best team, personally. I think they just got really lucky with seeding, and were lucky that two of their games, you know, two of the teams, the coaches just kind of fell apart at the end.
Yeah. They did get lucky with seeding. You know, they played the Texans, the Titans, but then they had to play the Niners.
And, you know, the thing, you know, the Niners they choked.
They did.
They're up 20-10 with a great defense, and you choke.
I definitely feel like they choked more than the Chiefs won, and I know I hate saying that, but...
Like, people say, you can even say the Patriots last year, like, oh, well, the Patriots had great seeding. They did, but they also took out the hottest team in the league, the best teams in the AFC, and they dominated them.
Both of them. Yeah, they were both 12-win teams. They had more regular season wins than the Patriots, both the Chargers and Chiefs.
And we beat the crap out of the Chargers, and the Chiefs, we went into Arrowhead and beat the crap out of them. Chiefs played all home games. The Ravens got beat for them. They had to play a Houston team that was up 24-0 and ended up giving up 51 points. Then they had to play a Tennessee Titans game that's just come off of three road wins. Three. Playoff road wins.
Yeah.
Like that's as hard as it gets to win another game, you know, to get to the Super Bowl from there. That's it. The odds are so farly stacked against you.
Right.
So they basically had...
We're counting the Week 17 game as a playoff game because it was win in Europe, so they were approaching it that way.
So, exactly. I mean, they had the easiest road I can remember to the Super Bowl in a long time. So
the Niners didn't have a tough road either. The Vikings team was pretty good, but they dominated them, and then that Packers just had absolutely nothing to give.
Yeah, that's what I feel. It's like, oh, this is a Super Bowl, but no, these weren't the best teams. These weren't the hottest teams. The Niners, you can maybe argue for, but they beat nobody to get to the fucking Super Bowl. I feel like anyone would have wanted to beat Green Bay on that day.
Yeah.
Just about anybody. Green Bay epically collapsed. Rodgers collapsed. Their defense is really good, don't get me wrong, but I didn't believe it was the best game we could see, personally.
I do feel robbed that we never saw Chiefs and Ravens. Those two styles going against each other would have been great, and it will be next year. I'm sure they'll be seeing each other.
Yeah.
By the way, the scheduling works out. Two more things on this game. First, on the second interception that Mahomes throws, this one's in the fourth quarter, tip ball, guy picks it off, goes to his knees, and then immediately starts running for the end zone. His whole team follows him. Now, I've been bitching about this all year, about defense.
Yeah, the game would have been just over. When are you talking? What scenario was this?
Fourth quarter, the Niners get the second interception off Mahomes.
Oh, right.
And the guy immediately starts running into the end zone so all his teammates can come and celebrate with him and take the pictures and do the poses and the whole thing. And I've been shitting on it all year. It drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. I really think it changed this game. I was sitting there watching it screaming, like effectively screaming, hey, don't do that. Don't, you're giving them an opportunity. I feel like you're just, you're going to take your foot off the gas just a little bit when you do something like that. Like, oh,
I thought the same thing. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And what happens? The Niners offense goes out and does jack shit, and then the Chiefs score 3 straight touchdowns.
Yep. Blew it.
Yeah. All right. And then the last thing, this is coming up in a lot of the conversations I'm having with about this game, and really all it boils down to is Patrick Mahomes really unlikable? Like, everybody I talk to is like, God, I just really don't like that guy's body language. I don't like the way he celebrates. He went for a slide in the first half, and he took his dear sweet-ass time getting into the slide. Niners guy comes up, hits him. Remember, he fumbles it out of bounds, goes back a couple yards. Then Patty Mahomes first complains, hey, how'd you hit me? Complains to the ref, wah. And then the guy got hurt delivering the hit. Mahomes stands up and does his two-arm flex thing in front of him over of this guy.
It was a dick move.
How the fuck can you both of those things? You can't complain that he wasn't allowed to hit you and then be I delivered that hit to you. It's like, in what world? Yeah, so he's very frustrated. I know somebody that is...
Well, a lot of people saying they don't like him?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people, he's really unlikable.
I think he's weird.
He's definitely weird, but it's the way he does that flex thing. He yells a lot. The way his mouth looks when he yells, and this is my favorite one. I know someone that really hates that he walks fast instead of trots. Like, he doesn't jog. He just walks really fast.
He does. Yeah, he does. I've noticed that. He's a weird dude.
It's so funny. But yeah.
Did you see what Tyreek Hill said about him?
No, what'd he say?
They go, what's the one thing about, Pat Mahomes that you really like or is, really funny or something like that? And he goes, you know what the best thing he does is when he comes in the huddle and he sounds like a frog. That's my favorite. And it happens all the time. Well, and he goes, I crack up every single time.
That's what his voice sounds like. He's got
that raspy-ass voice.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, well, he does. He's got a Kermit voice. Okay. Fair enough. Well, crown the Chiefs because if you're listening to any of the popular media, they're going to win the next 3 Super Bowls. And, Andy Reid is a shoe-in first ballot Hall of Famer, which he actually probably is.
He is.
Patty Mahomes will make $4 million a year and earn every penny and then some.
Yeah, and somehow they'll be able to keep that whole team together and everyone says it's going to be no problem. I feel like we've heard this with the Eagles. We heard it with the Panthers a couple years ago. Cam Newton, how can you stop such a great coaching quarterback combo? Well, let's see. It's called free agency and ego. Yeah. Right. So
look at the Seahawks.
Good luck. And injury.
They were unbelievable. And they made it to two Super Bowls and that's it. Two Super Bowls. And that's it. And they've been really good since then, but that's it.
Look at Aaron Rodgers.
Right? Great example.
Most talented quarterback probably we've seen in the past decade. Guy's only won one. He's only won one NFC championship. He's lost like 4 or something.
Well, he is the perfect comparison to Patrick Mahomes. Physically, right. He's the only person you could really compare him to.
It's just so hard to do it, and I feel like that what the Patriots have done over the past 2 decades, people are, he might win more. It's like it's just the amount of things that have to go your way in everything.
Yeah, Frank Clark can't go off the deep end. Chris Jones has to come back and not get fat.
Yeah, and just like they have to be able to take those contracts. Like Pat Mahomes, they're saying, might get $40 million a year.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you going to pay the rest of your team paying one guy 40?
Right. Your offensive line's probably going to fall apart.
They don't even have an offensive line.
Yeah, I know. It's where it's at already. It's only going to get worse.
So, I mean, maybe so. Maybe this is the guy to do it, but we've seen time and time again where it doesn't happen.
Right.
Peyton Manning was the greatest prospect possibly of all time and only won 2, and his second one came when he didn't have an arm. He just kind of rode the train.
Right. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is he and Patrick Mahomes are the 2 most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen, physically talented.
Yeah.
Rodgers, like you said, only been there once. He's going to be 36 next year.
It almost seems like the guys who do make it to multiple Super Bowls are they're the ones you don't expect.
Right. It's guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, who's been to 3.
Yeah, go for it.
Twice as a backup. Now, okay, we can transition to talking more about the Patriots and the upcoming offseason. We're in, like, day 37 of Tom Brady watch, whatever it is. It's constant. I mean, all of a sudden, he's going to be the Cowboys' next quarterback. Like, that makes sense.
Oh, it's so fucking funny, dude.
How bored are these people on TV? They're like, the Cowboys, why not?
They're like, it makes sense. It makes sense. It's like, oh, really? Because they've been trying to get a contract with their quarterback for the past year.
Yeah.
So they're just going to give up on that and go with Tom. I mean, the thing that I think is so funny is that I don't think any of them know. Nobody knows. And they can keep coming up with these rumors and hearsay, and I just don't believe any damn word of it. I don't. I mean, maybe I'm stubborn, but from what I've seen in my industry, there's an industry where, you know, there's a perception, there's a public perception, and there's people in the industry's perception. And the public perception is always vastly and wildly different than what happens, what is actually happening. And I feel like that's the same thing with the NFL. I've said it before. The people in the building know a lot more that's going on than the people out of the building have no fucking clue. And half the time, they get it wrong. So the only reason...
You're talking about the podcast industry?
No, I'm talking about the media industry. Just like ex-players and stuff like that acting like they still know what's going on and all these things. You know, if you're just everybody having an opinion and nobody has a fucking clue. Well, like Brady's probably told six people and those six people aren't speaking a word to anybody about it.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know...
You know what I mean?
Have you heard... I can't remember who I heard saying this, but it was a former player who was trying to get into broadcasting, and he's like, the number one rule they always tell you is have an opinion. That's what you're supposed to do on those shows, is have an opinion. That's why you see Tim Hasselbeck telling you how great this cornerback is, and like, Tim Hasselbeck, you don't know jack shit about cornerbacks.
Right.
But have an opinion, and that's why he's still there. It's not the shine on his head.
You're right, and that's what it is.
Some of the people that stick around, because when we were kids and you'd see Mark Schlereth or I don't even know who some of the names we would see back in the day, Tom Jackson. It's like you just assume Keyshawn. These guys Keyshawn. Well, we were around for Keyshawn a little bit. But you assume the former player was like a really good player or a Hall of Fame player. Something like Merrill Hodge, not a Hall of Famer.
but you
just see these guys, and now when we're older and we see these retired players that we remember when they played, it's like Damian Woody, what is he doing on TV all the time?
Yeah, he's a right tackle that played for like, you know, had an okay career, but that was it.
He had a pretty good career, but I don't know if he ever made a Pro Bowl.
Right.
There's got to be somebody better. But that's beside the point. The rumors are swirling. This is my new favorite theory about this. I was thinking about if you're Tom Brady and you've spent 18 years putting the team first, not extracting every single dollar you could, it doesn't make sense to me. Like we've said before, that you would all of a sudden, with your net worth of $500 million, need to extract every last dollar out of your final year to three.
Right.
So it's like, Kraft said that he insisted he wanted to go to free agency. So maybe that's just all he wanted to do was, hey, I've been in the league for 20 years. I've done literally everything you could possibly do. I've never been a free agent. Let's just see. Fuck it. He's worth $500 million, he and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a guy like that anything. So he's just like, screw it. I want to be a free agent, and then I'll take a couple calls, and then I'll go back to the Patriots and say, hey, this is what people are saying to me. And then the Pats will, depending on how ludicrous it is, be like, well, we'll give you this. And then he goes, maybe I'll just take that.
Right. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, to be honest. I mean, we've heard, like you said, we've heard all kinds of stuff. Someone I heard just threw around the Giants yesterday. It's like everybody's on it. The one thing I will say that, you know, made some kind of sense is someone was like, yeah, the team he's going to go to is kind of going to be a dark horse. No one's going to really see that coming if he leaves New England, which I kind of agree with. The whole thing, I do think he wants, you know, the limousine showing up and bringing him around. I think he wants that experience. You know, the whole Peyton Manning free agent experience, to some extent. You get invited to the stadium, you get to look around. Oh, this is great, this is cool, and see what it's like to be treated, you know, how this organization's going to treat you. And it's probably funny, you know, it's probably an interesting thing to do. Yeah. I don't blame him for that. The one thing I don't really get, though, is if all he wants to do is win, right? It's like he's still playing because he enjoys winning. And all the names that they're throwing around out there, I don't see any of those teams winning in the next year or two.
Exactly. Like
none of them.
The most common ones are the Chargers and Raiders, and they both,
right.
Either one of them broke 500.
No, like the Chargers, people are like, oh, they have talent. Phillip Rivers is not a bad quarterback. He was very, very, he was as good or better than Brady technically the year before, statistics-wise, in 2018. He was a very good quarterback, and this was essentially what we people thought was the same team, and they sucked, and he sucked, and he was getting absolutely demolished behind the line. So it's like, okay, he's going to go there. That was, like you just said, what was that, a 4 or 5 win team?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, what is the top 10? What's a good quarterback, like a great quarterback, worth 4 or 5 wins in the NFL? If you're lucky, like, you know, maybe 6.
Yeah, and it's not like they had Blake Bortles starting for them.
And they have a shit quarter. They have a shit coaching staff. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, and then the Raiders. Like, we all know Las Vegas is going to be an absolute disaster for the next decade. Like, probably forever. I don't understand how they think they're going to be able to hand $1 million contracts to 20-something-year-olds and go, okay, you have to. We're bringing you to Vegas, and you have to focus on practice. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be like, fuck that. I'm getting drugs. I'm getting fucking girls. I'm doing. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You do whatever the fuck you want. That's why Miami sucks. Miami became big in the '80s, and they haven't been good since the '80s. I don't think there's. You know, I think there's a pretty big reason behind that. So Vegas is gonna be terrible. The other teams are. Miami gets thrown around. It's like, good God, like he's not gonna play Miami.
No, he's not gonna do that.
Tennessee seems like it's flown. You know, flown the coop.
Tennessee, I could see it, but they would have to pass up keeping Tannehill. A lot of people think Tannehill's going to get a bunch of money, and it could be from the Raiders, could be from the Chargers, could be from somebody out there.
Yeah, I just, from a winning standpoint, I don't understand how he thinks he's, you know, everyone talks about, oh, he wants to prove himself that he doesn't need Bill to win. Well, that's not winning at any cost. That's a very different view from what he's had and what he says he wants. I want to win. Okay, you want to win. That means you want to win. That doesn't mean you want to have to prove yourself to win by yourself. That means you want to win a fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I know. And the best chance is in New England. See how he would leave. I don't really, you know. And they're saying they'll pay him. And you know, Bill's got a lot of picks. He's always going to swing something, take advantage of somebody. Or if Brady just wants to, you know, feel like that quote-unquote respect and get some kind of ridiculous contract, then that's fine. But he's not planning on winning.
That's why I don't understand the ridiculous contract desire. What has changed? Why would that change for him? And yeah, I think New England gives him the best chance to win. It's got a great offensive coach, one that he's really good friends with. It's got his best friend in football, Julian Edelman, is on the team. It's got the best coach in the league. He's got a great defense. There's a lot of things going for it, and if they're willing to take him back, then I think he would be willing to come back. The worry I have is that if he does want to do the limousine thing and go around and take the visits, that has to happen.
Are the Patriots going
to
wait?
Yeah, well, it has to happen when free agency starts. It can't happen during the tampering window. And so,
well, I have heard conflicting reports. People are saying that if Brady does sign after free agency, they can still figure out how to work. You're talking about the $13 million, right?
The $13 million is a big problem, but also they have to have a backup plan.
Right, right. And I think they will. I mean, and I think from the Patriots standpoint, it's the same thing. Like, there's no way you are going to find a quarterback this year, either on the free agency market or through trade, that's going to give you the same potential as having Brady as your quarterback. Just, it's not possible.
Right.
There's no one out there that you can get that you're going to be like, oh, okay, we have just as good of a chance of winning X amount of games with this dude as we do with Tom Brady. It just doesn't exist. That option is not there.
Yeah,
you,
right.
If you go without Tom Brady, you will lose at least a game or two by quarterback play more so than Tom. Just right off the bat. There's going to be a couple games that you are going to lose that he would have won, no matter what. I don't care what anyone says. That's like a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think Bill knows that because he's Bill Belichick. He knows what's going on with his team. He's always very black and blue about his fucking team.
Yeah,
about his team. So we'll see.
I wonder I hope this isn't the case, but does Belichick think, all right, well, if I plug in whoever this quarter, Joe Schmo quarterback, but I pay him $0 effectively, and I use the $30 million on these other 6 players, just don't want to have that thought. Just come back to me.
That's true. That's possible. Maybe.
Yeah, it's possible.
But I mean, now in the NFL, what?
They have enough cap space. They got like $30 million in cap space. They could
easily.
Brady would only take about half of that. They could create some more. And the guys they need to bring back, like Kyle Van Noy, Joe Tooney, those guys are probably priced out of coming back.
Right, regardless of Brady.
Come back.
Maybe Jamie.
Possibly Jamie.
There's a couple of other guys out there. You get a tight end.
Yeah, and just bring in one of the big money tight ends. Bring in Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper, one of those guys. Right,
and then draft someone and you're all set.
Exactamente. Now, the some other quarterback news around the league. This is unprecedented, the amount of big-name, very accomplished quarterbacks
that out there
are just all available. Cam Newton's available. What the hell? You tell me 4 years ago Cam Newton would be on the trade block? Like, eh, shut up.
What are you, nuts? Yeah.
You're out of your mind. And the most fun one to think about, besides Brady, is Taysom Hill. I love thinking about Taysom Hill. This guy,
is he a free agent?
He is a free agent. He's a restricted.
Oh, he is. So I didn't know that.
He's going to get tendered. I don't know when they have to make the decision, but he's going to get either a second or a first round tender. And right. The differences on those are, I think it's about $1.5 million. But what it means is that if he signs a first round tender, then if you want to sign him to an offer, you would have to give up a first round pick.
Right. It's going to probably be a first round tender.
I think they're going to do the first round. Everybody's been saying it's a second rounder, but I don't buy that because they want to.
Yeah, they want to keep him, and they're basically saying that they're fine going forward with him at quarterback if Breeze wants too much money,
right?
Which is stunning.
And they got Bridgewater, who's been in that building for 2 years.
Yeah, and Breeze is an odd situation because it's, you know, he doesn't seem to want to play anywhere else.
Right. Yeah.
Based on what I've heard, so that's I get why he doesn't want to play anywhere else, but it's also like, well, if they offer you a good contract, then why would you care? You know, but I guess it's the same thing with Brady. It's funny, like Brady's going out and saying what's out there, and Breeze is like, I'm not playing for anyone but these guys.
Yeah.
It's an interesting duality there in quarterbacks. Another one is Philip Rivers. He is moved to Miami. He is out of L.A.
California, yeah.
He's done with the Chargers after so many years. He must have known because he's already in Florida, so he knew what was going on. Well, they're like, yeah, we're
not paying you back. They had the joint statement between the two of them. Big Philly and the Chargers both came out and said, look, we're going to be parting ways.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do that.
Oh.
Yeah, there's so many guys. I mean, Jameis Winston, he just led the league in passing yards, and he's a free
agent. And he was the first 30-30 touchdowns interceptions quarterback ever.
I know.
He sucks. He sucks.
I know. I agree. He sucks. We've seen enough.
Yeah.
And, terrible. Marcus Mariota is, for some reason, still getting talked about. Like, the guy is a glorified backup. That's really it. Just because he was taken second overall doesn't mean he's any better than that. Teddy Bridgewater, as we mentioned, went 5-0 in his starts when nobody expected him to play nearly that well.
Yeah, and then thinking back on that from this standpoint, Breeze really didn't play that well.
He played pretty well down the stretch, but not that much better than Teddy Bridgewater. And right. The way that we spoke about this in the wildcard weekend, Taysom Hill was the best quarterback on the Saints that day.
That's what I mean. Like, maybe Teddy could have won.
Maybe.
Do you know
Taysom Hill has completed 3 passes in his career?
That's it. And they're like, oh, we're fine with him at quarterback. Oh, there you go, guys. Yeah. Way to go.
He said this week he wants to be a franchise quarterback and believes he's a franchise quarterback. He's completed 3 passes. I saw the stat. Mohamed Sanu has completed more than twice as many passes in his career as Taysom Hill.
That's insane.
How good is that?
That's insane. That's is that's really true?
That's true.
Holy shit. Yeah. What a stat. Yeah, and they're already all on board with him being their franchise quarterback. Well, it's like, oh, okay, guys. Go. He's thrown 3 passes when he was not the option to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Or, like, not expected to throw the ball. So trick good. Plays. Crazy.
So there's Bridgewater and Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill just completely turned around the Titans team. They were, like, 2-4 or 3-3 before he took over. Brings them all the way to the AFC Championship game. I can't remember the last time a quarterback who started in a championship game was a free agent after the season. I suppose Case Keenum, it wasn't that long ago.
He made the AFC Championship. He did with...
with the Vikings.
The Vikings, Jesus. Yeah. And then the Red Rocket. Apparently Andy Dalton is on the block.
He's on the block, yeah. And you know who we didn't even mention? Alex Smith from the Redskins.
Yeah, but I don't know if he should play again.
Man, did you hear some of the stories about it?
No.
I didn't know how bad it was. So he had a compound fracture. The bone breaks the skin, which makes it a really bad infection risk. And sure enough, he got a terrible infection. So bad that they had to put him for a couple of weeks.
No way.
For weeks.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I don't know if induced coma is
the
right
word,
but he was sedated for weeks where he was basically asleep.
The bone broke through the skin?
Broke through the skin. That's what a compound fracture means.
So really?
He had a horrendous infection. He doesn't remember, like, at least a month of his life. They said
because of the infection?
Because of the infection. They had to basically shut his body down so it could devote all its resources to fighting the infection. And then they wake him up after this period and they go, look, you should probably decide whether you want to try to save the leg or if we should just cut this thing off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he wants to play next year.
Can he walk?
Yeah, he's been training.
So he beat it.
He beat it, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't that wild?
I didn't know that's what compound fracture meant, that it goes through your skin.
Yeah, that's a compound fracture. And they said, like, it was potentially life-threatening, this infection.
Wild.
Yeah, from a broken leg. You don't think...
Yeah, so I don't think he should play again. So, you know, I don't know. That's why I don't mention him. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, but he wants to.
Oh, God.
Right?
Holy shit. Imagine being in his family. He's like, I gotta do it. It's like, for what, dude? Like, what are you going back for?
You've done it all. You've done it all. Yeah, so we just mentioned 10 quarterbacks, and they could all be starters.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, and they're all on the either on the block, restricted, or unrestricted.
And there might be more.
Could be. Yeah, well, Derek Carr, we didn't even mention. Derek Carr's got $4
million. Derek Carr.
Guaranteed money, something like that. Only
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G, this is my favorite. This is the only scenario where I'm not heartbroken if Brady leaves, is if he goes to the Niners and Jimmy G comes back to the Patriots.
Yeah, that's happening. I would not be happy. I'd be pissed.
I'd be pissed too, but it's wrapped up in a nice bow, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be funny. Also, I don't remember if I heard correctly, but I feel like someone, or I saw somewhere that Goff is also not a big cut-down risk.
Oh my God. Jared Goff got $113 million guaranteed.
But wasn't that 2 years ago?
That was last offseason.
Was it? Okay, then never mind.
I bet he's got like a $90 million dead cap money.
Well, because they front load the shit out of him.
They did that with Jimmy G, and that's why his is only $4 million if they got.
Yeah, I thought Goff, maybe it must not have been Goff. Maybe I'm thinking of Carr.
Could be Carr, yeah. Carr got one of those like Andy Dalton. It's a $100 million deal, but is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jared Goff's dead cap number is $51 million.
Oh my God, they're fucked.
He's around for a while. Yeah, they're screwed.
They're screwed.
And their offensive line is in shambles. They don't have first round picks for a while. They have no cap space. Fucked. Yeah, they did it to himself.
Oh my God, yeah, they did. They traded all their draft picks for fucking Jalen Ramsey. Like, way to go, guys.
For just every whoever the Jaguars took in the first round, let's get them in.
Yeah.
That's their whole thing. And now they're going to get some compensatory picks for Dante Fowler. And yeah, it's a mess. By the way, I just want to say, I've been looking over some of the guys that are free agents, specifically pass rushers.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people are considered top tier pass rushers after they're playing on a defensive line with another top tier pass rusher. Dante Fowler is a great example. In Jacksonville, doesn't do anything. Goes to
plays
LA. Plays with Aaron Donald. All of a sudden, he's a really good defensive end. It's like, yeah, stupid.
Yeah.
He's getting single teamed every single play.
Right.
You can't bring never him see in to be your absolute number one ace pass rusher and expect him to produce.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, that's one thing to keep in mind when you look at the value of some of these guys. All right. That's my soapbox. Yeah, so it's February. Not too much happening right now. The NFL Combine will be right around the corner. Teams will have to use the franchise tag if they're going to, which I don't using one this year.
No. I mean, somehow, maybe if they want to keep Tooney on it, but I don't see that happening.
I don't think they're going to be able to keep Tooney. Somebody thinks he was going to make like $8 million a year. I think he's going to make closer to 11.
I mean, if you could franchise him for $8 million, I probably would.
The problem is, I believe the way it works is they lump all offensive linemen together. So even though guards make a lot less than tackles for franchise tag purposes,
oh, right,
they put them all together. So you'd be making tackle. You'd be making like money.
I feel like I must have known that.
Yeah. There's really nobody I can see that they would the franchise tag on because they can't use it on Brady. He's the only
right
one.
Yep.
So there goes that. But we'll see all the other teams using the franchise tag. Jadeveon Clowney. Actually, I think Clowney managed to not get it. But Dak's going to get it, a handful of these guys. And then it'll be the combine, and then a couple weeks after that, free agency, and we get to see how this thing all plays out. But before that, we'll come back with another episode, and we'll talk more specifics about numbers, which guys should come back. Devin McCourty, is Van Noy gone? Nate Ebner, how do these guys all fit together? Is Dan Shelton going to be part of the future? Does Gostkowski get cut? A lot of question marks. We'll get into the weeds on that in an episode coming up of Farts. But in the meantime, enjoy the offseason. Get into the XFL. And thanks, y'all, for
tuning in. Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you later.
Adios.